Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of It's Easy Sun, your life lessons on your journey to your purpose. And this week, yet again, we have another dynamic guest, a young lady that I have come to know from our affiliation with an organization called J1, Jamaican Howard University Affinity Network, that we both serve on. But she has an extensive career, pediatrician, and someone who many look to. She's very humble, like most of my guests. She doesn't want to speak much about herself, but somehow I was able to ask her to do this and she agreed. So I'm very, very fortunate. So ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, we welcome to the podcast this week, Dr. Kijana Nix. Dr. Nix, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me. So it's actually Kijana. It's K-I-J-A-N-A, but it's pronounced as Kijana. It's actually a Swahili name, a Swahili word, actually, that my father got and he named me. So I've been proud of that name.
I've been calling you Kijana now for months, and this is the first correction. So thank you.
But the thing is, people, that's the first thing people say, and I don't fault them for it because, I mean, if you speak English, you know, that's what you expect to say, right? You're expected to say, right? Uh-huh. So I don't make a big deal about the pronunciation of my name. I don't. I don't know why, but I don't make a big deal. So sometimes I don't correct people. Sometimes I do. And if people get to talk to me a little bit more, I will just say, hey, it's pronounced as Kijana. And then I give them the history behind it. Yeah. So the word on the street is that my dad actually got the name, you know, back in the 70s, you know, everybody was about Black Power back in Jamaica and everybody and people in Jamaica, you know, love the connection with Africa, you know. So I think that's why my dad was inspired to, you know, get the name. Well, give me the name. He got the name and gave it to me. Yes. Wow. And I'm proud of it.
Well, I'm glad because, you know, every day I try to learn something new, and that's rather interesting. Well, you started out the conversation. How these podcasts go, I just ask a bunch of open-ended questions, and we try to take a journey through your career, your early years, your growing up, and you already started by mentioning your father in Kingston, Jamaica.
So yes.
Tell us about who's Kijana. Here I go again, Kijana.
Okay, I can tell you about my father, but first I have to also talk about my mom. Yeah. The reason is, I mean, both my parents have been involved in my life up to today. My dad actually sent me a text this morning. When I sent him that certificate that I got from the DC mayor, he sent, a message, but at the end of it, he said, I love you.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, my dad always says that. My mom, you know, Jamaican parents, sometimes they don't really express that. But, you know, that I know my mom loves me. Mm. You know, growing up, she would just go to, lengths to make sure that myself and my brother were okay, you know, and the same up to today, even with the pandemic. Recently, she called me and said, I'm preparing myself just in case you have to come back home. You know, she's making sure that I'll be okay. So yes, I not that I'm not going to mention my dad, but I could go on and on and talk about my mom and my dad. My dad is actually an amazing person. I love him very much as well. Oh my goodness. I could talk. Say so many things, but I remember like the summer vacations, like, you know, when I used to go to Alpha Academy. Of course, I think you know about that, which is it's also called the Convent of Mercy Academy Alpha. So I went there, close to your school, right?
Yes, right across.
Oh my God. Right. Yes, yes. So, so I used to, you know, travel during the summer for summer vacations to spend time with him in New Jersey. So we've been up and down the road. I mean, trips to Disney World. Sometimes I remember both of us just drove up to Canada one time to go see a family friend. Even during my interview season, when I was getting ready to go into a residency program, my dad, I mean, I had people also who, other people also helped me, but my dad, I remember, I'll never forget this, and he will always say that. So his birthday is in January, and you remember Jamaica Jazz and Blues Festival? Okay. So once I had an interview, I had an interview, I don't remember if it was New York. Yeah, I think it was New York. And then I had an interview lined up from University of Miami. But then I guess out of the blue, I got a call from my mom in Jamaica at the time. I was over here, got a call from my mom say that Howard University is trying to reach me to grant me an interview. So how about when I called, no one was really around. Apparently it was like a certain time of the day during the week that nobody was really around. Nothing administrative was going on and no interview was being held, because I think they usually had their interviews Tuesdays and Thursdays. So it turns out that Dr. Gail Noni Bland, I have to give her, I'm telling you, she will forever be remembered for me. She'll always be in my heart. She's actually now the chairman of the Department of Pediatrics at Howard University. Oh. And I was talking to the secretary and she was just passing by. That's what I was told. And then I spoke with her. And then she made an arrangement just for me by myself to be interviewed at Howard University Hospital for the residency program. And that was my number one match. So I did my residency training there. But imagine just, you know, just being the only person. And she made that special effort to just, you know, instead of saying, oh, no, you have to do that on a different day like everybody else. So my dad, so I was a bit pretty much on my way to University of Miami. And then we stopped in Washington, D.C. now. Wow. And had an interview. But why I was saying this is, after the interview at University of Miami, it was his birthday time. So we had already arranged for us to go to the jazz festival. And this was held at the Aqueduct at the Hilton Rose Hall, which is exactly where I got married. that's the just funny part, like many years later. And we saw, like, I think we had Babyface, Angelique Kidjo, Carl Thomas, Monte Alexander, and you know, a slew of like popular artists. And every time we talk about jazz festival, he will always go back. He always said that was the best birthday he's ever had. and that will always be our connection. So that's not the only thing we've experienced, you know, father, daughter, even in buying a car, or, you know, for example, he would give me advice, business advice. He's very knowledgeable in that.
I'm looking at your face as you're talking.
I could go on and on. I could spend, you know.
So, let me ask you a question. So growing up in Jamaica, because what was that like? Obviously, a strong household.
My goodness.
What was that? What was your growing up years like?
I have no regrets about where I was raised, how I was raised. I grew up in East. I'm from East Kingston. And, you know, people think that people from East Kingston are not, you know, good people. But I mean, actually, I think the founder of Pulse Modeling Agency, Mr. Kingsley Cooper, is from East Kingston. And I remember where he used to live as a little girl, you know. You know, I remember also in terms of the household, we lived with my maternal grandmother. You know how it is, you know, back home. And that was a house that was pretty much open to the neighborhood. My grandmother never cooked a pot to feed just a single set of household. Right. There were people from down the street, up the street, wherever, would come and get especially hominy corn or her soup. Right. So, so growing up in Jamaica, you know, it was my mom made sure that I was on the straight and narrow path, you know, making sure that there were no distractions. And she would always, I always talk about this. Up to last week, I spoke to a friend of mine about how my mother made sure that we ate healthy meals. I'll never forget. I wouldn't say hate, but when she made those whole wheat dumplings, or she always say, you have to eat your vegetable. And there was never a meal without some kind of fruit or vegetable. So I'm happy about, you know, that she ingrained that in us since we were younger. Mm-hmm. And still up to today, she's still telling me how to eat. So that's fine. And I whether I'm a physician or not, it's fine. I will take it. Because I usually actually tell her that she's a doctor, but I went to medical school for her.
So is that where your mom's insistence on healthy lifestyle, healthy eating, is that where your love for medicine and, you know, where you are today?
Yes, I think that's where it, well, actually, that's a part of it. But the reason why I became interested in medicine is because as a little girl, I used to go to the eye doctor to see, you know, for glasses, and I would, you know, get my eyes checked. But I remember I really was inspired by the physician who took care of me. She wasn't a Jamaican lady, you know, sometimes back in Jamaica, they used to have doctors from like India or I think Burma. I think she was from Burma. And I really liked the way she, I mean, this was when I was 6 years old. And I really remember the way she interacted with me. But the healthy eating, yes, my mom, she was also always interested in learning about natural like plants, which plant, like for example, she will always talk about, if you ever meet her and you're talking about, for example, not sleeping or whatever, she would always talk about the soursop leaf or something like that, you know. Yeah. And peppermint, then she usually, actually growing up, she would plant callaloo, tomatoes. Up to today, sometimes I actually try to make sure she gets some plant seeds. She loves flowers, and I think that's why I love flowers as well. Mm-hmm. But the other person who inspired me to become a physician is a family member of mine, Dr. Hermer Carpenter, may her soul rest in peace. She was the head of the public health department, and I remember when I was going to Alpha Academy, on Saturdays, I would go to her office and just, you know, hang around, and she would allow me to hang around in her office and, you know, teach me about, you know, just mention stuff, just basically, I shadowed her pretty much. And then, you know, I continue to develop the love for medicine. So that, to answer your question, you know, my mom with a mixture of, you know, family members, and then that lady, that physician, mm-hmm. maybe she was an optometrist now that I think about it, but it really doesn't matter. At least, she inspired me from way back when. So
what was, you mentioned going to the Alpha Academy.
Yes.
And so where was primary school or prep school?
About primary school. I didn't go to prep school. I went to primary school. Uh-huh. I actually went. So you remember back in the day, I'm not sure. Well, I wouldn't say back in the day, but I remember the reason why I ended up at that school was because a family member worked close by. I didn't go to school in my area at all. Because a family member, because you would have guessed that I would have gone to, I was supposed to have gone to either Holy Rosary or Vast Prep, I think. Mm-hmm. But my mother, I remember she told me the story that, no, she's saving her money. She's not going to pay for that. She thought that I was still... Mm-hmm. I guess I use the word maybe smart enough, I guess. I don't want to use that, but yeah. I guess she figured that I was smart enough to be able to get my way through primary school. So I remember going to this little basic school first. And then when I got older, my family member was working. She's now a nurse. She was working close by the school in at Holy Family. Holy Family. You've heard of Holy Family in Law Street.
I've heard the name.
Yes. Yes. Holy Family Infant School or Basic School. But I remember Holy Family Primary very well because I had some teachers there that I will never forget. Miss Brown, Miss Nelson, and the now principal, Miss Palmer. I mean, Miss Palmer, oh my God, she was like a mom to me. I just felt like she was a mom to me. Miss Brown was my sixth grade teacher. I'd skipped the fifth grade because they thought that I would have done well, you know. And I remember when I was at Holy Family, I remember Alan Magnus came there and I entered the spelling bee, but I was shy, so yeah. I copped out, you know.
Yeah.
But that was interesting. Yes, and I remember in fourth form, people used to think I was not fourth form, fourth grade, people used to think I was teacher's pet, you know. I actually came first as well in that grade, and that's probably how I ended up skipping the fifth grade.
Yeah.
But that was, I will never forget that experience. And up to recently, I mean, not recently, I should say, like maybe up to within the last 5 years, I've communicated with her.
Mm-hmm.
And my intention, actually, I had so many plans for that school, but, you know, sometimes you just get distracted, but caught up in other things, yeah. because, yeah. you know, I do a lot of philanthropic work as well. Yeah. It's like, if I could do everything, I would, yeah. basically. I think that's what
that's
it is.
That's why I'm so humbled and happy that you're on the show with me, because you have a very big heart. And
the
more I listen to whenever you speak and the passion around wellness and young people in general, it is an inspiration. And I know your story is one that many young people, especially young girls, can gravitate towards and see and embrace. So Holy Family Primary, Alpha Academy.
Universe.
Right. Go ahead. So what was life at Alpha like, being right there off of, is it South Camp
Road? South Camp Road, right across from Sabino Park, cricket grounds.
Yeah.
I remember those days of hearing cricket. We would know when the cricket matches were going on, the one-day matches and the test cricket matches. And, you know, I wasn't really a fan of cricket back then, but I became a fan of cricket eventually. But, you know, of course, being in the States now, it's kind of difficult to follow that. I used to follow cricket info all the time.
Really?
But anyway, yeah, yes. I used to follow cricket because it was such a fun to watch, especially the one day games and matches. I remember when I was working, I did work at KPH for a little bit as well. So one of our consultants had a box, so I was invited, a couple of us, yeah. So we would go on the mound, and you know, that's where the Brian Lara's and the Courtney Walsh, and I met Curtly Ambrose before. I even met, what's his name from Australia, that tall guy, Glenn McGrath. Yes,
yeah.
I have a picture with Glenn McGrath and he signed it.
Yeah.
But anyway, going back to Alpha Academy, I'm sorry, I digressed.
No, that's fine.
It's just so much, you know.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Alpha Academy, I was quiet. I mean, I was very shy. We still remain friends up to today anyway, most of us. My friend from first form, actually, she was my maid of honor in my wedding.
Oh, wow.
So, yes. Yeah, so, and we still keep in touch up to today. I had wonderful teachers. I can remember my Spanish teacher. She was from Cuba. Miss Myrie, I'll never forget her, or English literature teacher. She was excellent. Miss Davis, I can't forget her. Mr. Singh, I would never forget Mr. Singh. I think I would say if I were to write another book, he would be mentioned in it.
No.
You know, because the funny thing is, I went back to Alpha recently within the last few years, I ran into him and I told him, every time I see him, I tell him, thank you, you know,
mm-hmm.
Because he stuck up for me when there was a little rough patch where they thought that I wasn't worthy of whatever it was. But anyway, he stuck up for me and he said some words to me where, like, he said, you know, I always saw your compassion. He used those exact words. And the funny thing is, whenever I get my evaluations in medical school and residency, those were the same words that continue to follow all the evaluations. So I think he's a true visionary in that respect. So we had some great teachers, you know, who made sure that we were successful. And I went, of course, in the science track. And you know, eventually I'm here.
Yeah, you're here.
You know, so
Alpha prepared you well.
Yes, and I did a career day. I went home to do to present in a career day event about 3 years ago or so. But the plan was to go back last year, I think. But I know we're supposed to go back, but you know, COVID hit and things changed. So yeah, life at Alpha Academy was great. It was exceptional, I think. I enjoyed art too, which is the funny thing. I never went to the art track, but I remember learning about art and still life and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And up to today, I still enjoy art in my food. I have a camera that I use. I use my camera almost every day. As a matter of fact, when I got home from work yesterday, I went to the backyard and just started taking pictures of some of the daffodils. This morning I went out there as well and I cut some and put some daffodils in the vase. And then I sowed some little seeds like sunflower seeds, chives. So I think here's my mom again, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm getting ready. So after this interview, I'm going to go in and put them in the herb box.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the plan.
So Alpha, from Alpha, you have this bug for sciences. You have the optometrist who was an impact, your mom, your dad, everyone at Holy Family, everyone at Alpha. So you're now moving into the next phase, and that is higher education. What's at Alpha?
I went to the University of the West Indies. I went to, first I went to natural sciences, but it's now called pure and applied science. So I didn't go to N2 because with the A-levels, I didn't get the A-levels that could have gotten me to N2 the second year. So I did the preliminary year. So that didn't really bother me. It was a good thing. And then I remember I did chemistry, whatever the thing is, I don't remember. But I did the science subjects.
Right.
And then when I got to the second year now, I matriculated to the second year and I did zoology, mathematics. Oh gosh, the mathematics was very good. And I did chemistry again. By that time they had changed everything to A and B. And I remember A was good. And I did this part B now, the chemistry, the math, the zoology. Oh, and we had to do, right, chemistry, math, yeah, zoology. And I also remember when it was time to, so I didn't even remember that I had applied to medical school as well. But anyway, I'd failed chemistry, the first part of chemistry. And then, but I could not, they could not advance me because even though I could have gone to the third year, I think it's the third year, yeah. All of those other classes clashed. And there was no way they could have advanced me to the next year. So what I did, I stayed back. I did over the part A of the physical chemistry. But I picked up physics. But I remember picking up botany. And I really enjoyed that. And then before going on to the second, because I stayed back, but before going on to that phase, I remember when I got my grades, I was shocked with the physical chemistry. So I got an A in physical chemistry after all of that. And I remember people coming to me saying, Who gets an A in physical chemistry? Nobody gets an A. Somebody said, I remember those were the comment. That was the comment. And I'm like, oh, wow. I didn't know that. But what was the difference was the first lecture I had, I really couldn't understand him. I think he was from Germany or something. I couldn't really understand him because, and that's just my experience. But when I got the second professor, may his soul rest in peace, I will never forget him as well. He will also be a part of my success story. And his daughter is actually a friend of mine now, which is the weirdest thing. Yeah. And that, I think that made the difference. That made a big difference because I could understand all the delta D and the delta G's, I should say, and all that stuff, all that physical chemistry stuff and the Schrodinger equation, all that, you know, all that deep yep. stuff.
I'll let you tell so, it.
Yes, all that deep stuff. So just before advancing now, so the only thing I had left now was to do finish botany and finish physics. But then someone just came to me and said, they used to call me Nixie or yo Nick. One person came, hey Nix, I have something to tell you. You, me, and somebody else, and they were naming names, got into medical school. I'm like, what? I didn't even remember getting into medical school. I didn't even remember applying, to be honest with you.
Wow.
So what I did, I stopped. I just didn't bother to complete the second year. So a friend of mine said to me, why don't you just go work, you know, in the meantime? So she lined me up. You know it is in Jamaica. She hooked me up with someone. And I ended up working at Industrial Finance Corporation. Finance, me.
Finance, wow.
Me, yes, that's weird, isn't it? But anyway, it was a great experience. And I met some wonderful people there. And then I started medical school. And it was smooth sailing ever since. So that one failure, I think, propelled me to get to being here today. So sometimes failure, like I said to a colleague of mine up to yesterday, that delay is not denial. So nobody goes through life without a setback.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I mean, that was the only setback, but that was one setback that I remember that is the reason why I'm here today.
You know, I'm sitting here just listening to this, fascinated, because, you know, your candor around failure and you know, I think Fantasia, the R&B artist, she has this song called Lose to Win. And she talks about sometimes you have to lose in order to win.
Yes.
You just shared a metaphor from your own personal journey that's very powerful. But let me ask you a question I ask every guest.
Oh, Lordy.
As you look back on your career right now and where you are, your station, and you're still on an upward trajectory in my mind and the minds of many others. Was it a linear path? Did you have ups, downs? Or you knew from, just say, from the time with the optometrists and all these folks in the medical field that you looked up to, was it just an upward move? Or did you have, aside from the one failure you mentioned, or was it more of a zigzag, round the barberry bush type deal?
I must say most of my career, I've been blessed. I'm not saying I didn't have any setbacks. Growing up, the path, I would maybe curvilinear. I think over the last few years, that's when I'm like, you know, getting more into the upward part of the curve. And that's because I think because I don't like to be in the forefront. I was just saying to myself, well, actually, I was at work one day and I overheard a nurse saying, oh, most of my classmates are director of this or manager of that or something like that. And I said to her, no, you are where you are supposed to be. You don't. Yeah. I had a nice little talk with her, and when I was done, but I was like, wait, I just basically minister to myself as well, you know? I said, no, you are where you are supposed to be, because you don't know what they had to go through to get where they are, you know? So don't focus on that. Just work towards your goal. If that's what you want, just work towards it. And you know, so in terms of my path, I don't, whatever setbacks I've had, or whatever zigzag path, or maybe like, you know, a little dip, maybe, I'm sure there was a little dip. I just use that experience to get me to the next phase. Because you have to experience, like I said, you have to experience something to move to the next phase. Whether it's failure, as long as it's not detrimental, and as long as you just remain motivated, find something to motivate you, and try to be well-rounded. As much as I'm in medicine, I love medicine. I love my patients. I miss some of my patients when I was working in Georgia as well. I worked in Georgia for 3 years, and up to like last the pandemic, I stopped going because I refused to fly. So, you know, the pandemic was a setback for me with in terms of my career path, as well, just a little bit, especially when it comes to taking care of the patients who are underserved. But for me personally, yes, I had a little setback, but I'm here now, and
You're here
it's
now.
like it's just a great thing. I'm gonna so one thing I remember, let me go back. About in 2000 and maybe 2000, and when I was moving from Georgia to come back to the area, and I remember Dr. Young, who's another physician who has been a part of my professional journey, who's always like been there for me, I think, in my opinion. I remember she thought that I would have, she wanted me to come back to Howard. And I ended up working in Virginia, but that didn't go so well, because another entity was taking over. And so the four of us who were there, they didn't want us to be there anymore. Okay. But it was a good thing. It's a blessing in disguise. Trust me. I remember my mom would say to me, you should freelance, do your own thing, do your own thing, you know? And then ever since that time, I have not put all my eggs in one basket. I've been a true Jamaican and have had you know, dip my hand in everything. And sometimes you feel like you want to stay at one place, but then you're thinking back, you know, to yourself that you have to pr protect yourself. So, you know, in back in 2014 or thereabout, a colleague approached me and asked me if I wanted to be a part of this company, a telemedicine company. You know, everybody's talking about telemedicine now, right? We've been talking about telemedicine since 2014. Okay, yes. So I ended up joining that network of physicians. So, part-time, you know, I do some telemedicine work as well. So in terms of setbacks, so that setback actually helped me to realize that I need to do my own thing, and I need to steer my path. But still, and then I started at Howard too right away. I mean, as a matter of fact, right after that happened, I think that they were happy. Dr. Young was so happy. She's like, yeah, you know. So I've been at Howard, back at Howard for over 10 years now. And I don't have any intentions of going anywhere unless they don't want, you know. But I don't have intentions of leaving Howard at this point because I enjoy working in the newborn nursery, especially serving our patient population, our people. Because in terms of understanding the struggles and relating to them, you know, I think if they're, I think they can relate to me more. They're more relatable, that in that respect.
Well, let me switch gears on you a little bit because well-known in and around the area for the work that you do, pediatrics and the patients that you see and the work that you do. Now, as I sit here and I listen, how these podcasts go, I listen to words that you say in your responses and I formulate more questions.
Okay.
So as I listen to the compassion, I'm watching your facial expressions, the joy that is expressed on your face. How did that translate into the work that you do from a philanthropic standpoint and the work that you do in the community in giving back? You spend time with folks in Jamaica. Your high school alpha is, I won't say too much about that.
Yes.
Recognizing you and as much as I could say.
Yes.
Yesterday we were talking and you got this wonderful award from the mayor.
An outstanding.
You're turning your efforts to being a co-author for a book about wellness with a couple of your physician colleagues.
Yes.
Aside from your day job, philosophically, what drives you in your giving back and your care for others?
Oh my goodness. So this gets me a little emotional, I would say. Because I've been giving back since I was in Jamaica, to be honest with you, but I just do it under the radar. I'm not about, you don't have to know what I'm doing. If it's, as long as I'm doing right by people, that's what I want to do. I remember my mom has a friend who one day we were just talking and they said, why don't I just see some kids in your backyard, in a community? So like on a Saturday, I would go there and I would just do like a screening, this is when after medical school, and just screen the kids there for like anemia or anything or any illness. I did it that on my own.
Wow.
And then I had another colleague who didn't live too far. I brought him in and asked him to help me out. And he did come and help me out one time. And I will always be grateful to him as well. And then there was another organization in Jamaica called Guiding Light that I'd helped out as well. And then even as a member of the Jamaican Doctors Association, it's now called the Jamaican Medical Doctors Association, it used to be called Junior Doctors Association. So I was a member of the executive committee of the Junior Doctors Association. And we would also do like our Labor Day project. The last one I remember, we went to Mandeville and we did this. And I've always seen pediatric patients. This is before I even became a pediatrician. So what really drives me is the fact that knowing that there is always a need, knowing that somebody else is in a worse off position than I am in. Somebody, I know there are people out there or kids out there who would just like to see you smile at them. Even a smile can go a long way. What also drives me is the fact that I can hopefully use this the opportunity to inspire a child, So I guess you say inspire them one child at a time. So, the reason why I'm going in this direction with the conversation is because I'm thinking of Kenya, for example. When you go to Kenya, those kids, like, they don't really smile, right?
Wow.
And I don't know if it's a cultural thing. I'm not sure. But when you smile and you connect, you get that opportunity to connect with these kids, and then the next year you go back, you see the same kid growing up and now they know you, Wow. Yeah. I mean, and I remember another young man saying that he wants to be a doctor. And, the fact that we'd seen him the year before and then, the next time he comes back. So to me, like going as a part of this group, it's just really meaningful to me to be a part of these mission trips. And that's one of the reasons why I work the way I do. So I can or freelance the way I do, so I can have the opportunity to do these things whenever whenever the time comes, whenever the opportunity comes, I should say. And I usually try my best to do that. And with Howard University as well, I remember years ago they had asked me to join them on a trip to Haiti. I'm like, no, but usually that's my birthday, you know? But one day I got up, I'm like, no, I'm going to go. So I usually go, I've gone with them a couple times, and it was through my birthday month, birthday week. Mm. And I just celebrate my birthday on the mission trip. So,
yeah. you're still doing some of these trips when they present themselves.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. As a matter of fact, we were thinking, playing with the idea of going back to Kenya this year, but I don't think it's going to be possible. It's usually late in the year, but I don't think it's going to be possible. It's just a thought, yeah. I think, at this point. I don't think it's going to be possible. But yes, going to Kenya and the rest of the Caribbean as well. And Jamaica, of course, is one of my favorite places to go. I mean, it's mm-hmm. home. I consider that as giving back to Jamaica. That's the least I can do to just give back to my people. That's all.
So in terms of giving back to Jamaica, you know, we read the news today, and this is another question I ask all my guests. When you look at the news gives you a sense of almost hopelessness, and yes. That everything is just terrible, that there are no good things happening. Then we have a guest like you and others who have been on the show to tell us a different narrative. But if you, as a woman of color from a Caribbean nation, and has achieved quite a bit in the United States and I would say around the world, I had NASA astronaut Camille Allain, another Howard grad, on the show. For young girls that are coming up and wanting to grab hold of what's next, what advice would you be able to give them, or what nuggets of wisdom would you share with them?
Okay. So I would, of course, it's age dependent, you know. So I figure I would just start with maybe, you know, school age, you know, like maybe an 8-year-old and above. But then again, it could be any age, I guess, because at 6 years old, I knew I wanted to become a doctor at 6 years old. So, but in terms of the approach, it's going to be age dependent. But my main thing is just to make sure that you pay attention in school. If you need help, you can find, you know, your teachers, and make sure that you find a friend in your teacher. Because looking back, I would say that if I weren't as connected to my teachers, maybe I would have been lost. There's nothing like a teacher that likes to see a student that does well or mm-hmm. likes to pay attention. And that's why I have the utmost respect for teachers. You know, so like I said, pay attention. Do not get distracted. It's easy. You can get distracted easily, especially these days with social media and, gadgets, but, you know, it's important to really stay the course. It's important to be motivated, to be inspired. And then it's important to make sure that you know what you want to do and stay focused on that. Like for me, I could say the distraction, like with my mom, for example, she made sure I wasn't distracted. Mm. She, you know, so for parents, it's not a one-way street, as a matter of fact. Yes, you can tell the child what to do or the young lady what to do, but if you don't have the inspiration or the example beside you, then it's going to be a little bit more challenging. Mm-hmm. So those are my main things. If you can just find someone, even, and then what really had helped me too is to find friends or peers that have the same vision that you have, because that was another thing that really helped me, in that most of the friends that I had were driven. They were goal focused. They were sometimes competitive, but that's good. Competition is not bad in that respect, because it motivates you to keep move going, getting better and better and better. Mm-hmm. And to be the best that you can be. But also, you can, if you have a guidance counselor, for example, or it depends on your community, you can find someone else, even outside of your parents, even if you have a trusted aunt or an uncle, you can, get inspired by them. If you have the opportunity to shadow someone, you should do it. But I know with the age of COVID, it's going to be difficult, but you can still do it virtually. You can set up mentorship. Well, speaking of mentorship, the same thing that we're going to be doing with our J1 scholars, because we have to make sure that people have their mental health and wellness intact.
Yep.
So, the same thing I would advise the young people, to do, especially teenagers. Yes, there is sometimes they have peer pressure, and because of the phase that the teenagers go through, sometimes it can be challenging, to be honest with you, but I would say never give up. Just don't give up. Yes.
It's funny, I told you the hour would run, get close, so we got time for two more questions.
Okay.
What's next for Dr. Nix?
You've
done so much already in such a short period of time. What's next for Dr. Nix?
And I don't think it's, to be honest with you, I don't even think that's, it's out of the ordinary or exceptional, to be honest with you, because when I got the call from the president of the Alumni Association about the award that they're going to give me, I was like, I haven't done anything that I wouldn't have done, that I'm just doing what I wanted to do for humanity. You know, I'm just doing what I want to do for my pediatric patients. So what's next for me? Just continue doing what I'm doing, continue connecting with J1 and mentoring the students, and helping to fundraise for the Jamaican students at Howard University. What I would really like to do though, mm-hmm. is see if I can really help with pediatric care, like the healthcare in Jamaica. I would really like to help with that, because sometimes I get calls and questions about what's going on, about medical related questions, I should say, mental health related questions, and helping patients to navigate the system, to navigate the healthcare system in Jamaica. That's what I would like to do, to be honest with you.
Wow.
Yes, I and why the Caribbean, if possible, but I know the Jamaican system a little bit better, I would say, compared to the rest of the Caribbean. But like, if you think of a child, like when I do the mission trips, I can think of a child with a ringworm, for example, mm-hmm. On the scalp or the foot or wherever. But then if that child does not get the care that they need, then it can become more serious. Like it can become secondarily infected. And then, in terms of access to healthcare, that can be challenging. So I would love to really help with access to healthcare for my Jamaican pediatric patients. That's what I would love to do.
Well, before I ask my last question, I just need to make a point. You just said something profound, and that's why I'm so happy that you joined us on this podcast. You said that when you got the call from the Alumni Association that they wanted to give you this award, and you were like, for what? This is what I would have normally would have want done or do. It's your makeup, just your story shared here today. I can say to you, not everybody thinks that way. One of the toughest things for a number of people who are of your mindset, I've met a couple, is getting others to see young people as our future. As we're talking here this morning, there's a young lady back home in Jamaica, 20 years old, that they found. And it has definitely struck a nerve, you know, violence against women and all these kinds of things. But you look at the face of this young girl, left home, and basically was found in Portmore.
Yeah, on Dyke Road. Yeah, so I read it.
You read it. And you listen to that, and then you ask yourself, the folks of your mindset who want to give back and challenge the status quo, it is not as common. And I would say to you, what you're doing with the missions trips, Africa, the Caribbean, Jamaica, here in the US, and the work that you do so unselfishly, it is not necessarily normal. And quite frankly, I believe folks like you who are doing these kinds of work, tremendous work, it always strikes me, especially some who have joined me on this podcast, they remain very, very humble and quiet and in the background, when I'm of the opposite mindset that folks doing this type of work, we need to showcase the work they're doing, and hence this podcast. So before we go to the last question, I just wanted to say that to you, because even though you think it's something that's within your DNA and makeup, you are actually inspiring people, inspiring young girls, young women, and quite frankly, young professionals, because your journey and what you do does resonate far and wide with many people. When I talk to folks and, you know, they mention some of the things that you've done. So I just want you to hear that from me before we end this podcast today.
I want to say thanks to, you know, my upbringing, to be honest with you, because I think seeing how people in my family used to give, I think that probably that has to be the thing that inspired me. That has to, I mean, because I remember also my mom, there are different people. She would raise kids, different kids. I mean, my mom has two of us. She would raise, different kids would just pass through her household, you know. She would keep them for someone. Then when they're ready to probably go off to the United States. I remember my mom going to the U.S. embassy with someone some kids, just to make sure they were, because the parent was already up here, to make sure that they get their green, mm-hmm. for their green card interview. My mom helped out with that as well, you know, so she's always made sure that she, you know, she really helps people. And especially, you know, if she sees your potential, she's going to definitely go the extra mile above and beyond. Yeah. So well, thank you so much. But like I said, I'm not well known. I don't think I'm well known. I mean, maybe because my name is easy to be called. It's NIX. It's the three letters. But I don't think so. But I just, you know, just live normally. Just making sure that I'm doing the right thing. Always conscientious of the other person. And of whatever situations that I'm a part of. That's all. Well,
before we get to the last question, I want to say much success on your first co-authored book.
Thank you.
And I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but when I get a chance, I know it will be good. I've seen some of the reviews already. So congratulations on
Thank
that.
You. All five stars on Amazon. It became an Amazon bestseller. I could not believe it. When Dr. Raglan, Lewis Raglan, asked me to be a part of the project, she said to me, when she thought of the idea, I was one of the first person she thought of. Can you believe that?
I can
Unbelievable.
Believe it.
Because she knows that. Because she says, oh, yeah, you know, I know you go on these mission trips and, you know, I'm sure your patients, I mean, are affected. I'm even thinking of the young man who came in unresponsive one day when I was in the middle of Kenya, rural Kenya. Now, what do you do when you have nothing? I'm thinking of the kid who came in with challenges breathing, and I had to be like a little MacGyver, making something with a nebulizer, the inhaler, sorry, making up my own spacer when there was no power to run the nebulizer machine. I'm thinking of the little baby who came in almost listless, and it was just hunger and dehydration. And I remember mixing the, what you call the dawa light, and mixing it. And dawa means medicine. It's a Swahili word as well. And just feeding that baby with a syringe, and he started perking up. So that's like what you're supposed to do. You know,
I will say it again. You know? Dr. Raglan sees it.
Yes.
The folks back home in Jamaica see it. And the fact that you don't see it is okay. But let us see it, because we do see it. We do see it.
Okay. Thank you.
So the last question I have is, it really ties into what you were just saying. I asked all my guests to close out the show is, as you look at what's happening in our world today, COVID, all these things, society in general, what words of hope and inspiration, not just for any sector of our nation, but hope and inspiration for our world, from Dr. Nix, will you leave with us today?
Okay, so I know that in general, people are feeling the pressure of not being able to do what they want to do and when they want to do it because of the restrictions, right? Mm-hmm. But I want you to remain hopeful. I want you to remain optimistic. I know there are, you know, people have lost their families, and my heart really goes out to whomever have been affected by the loss of a family member. I want you to just be inspired by their memory. I want you to think of all the good things, all the positive things that you have had with them, all the positive interactions you've had with them, and just make sure that you live with that in your heart. Healing takes time. Mm. Healing from even being traumatized by the pandemic, because people are traumatized by the pandemic. But I want you to find hope in your family and those who are left around you. I'd like you to also take care of yourselves. I'd like for you to take care of yourselves by doing the things, fun things. For example, even finding a new hobby, you know, that you probably thought you liked, but just kind of, you know, get more into it. If you didn't like gardening before, I mean, depends on where in the United States you live, because we're experiencing spring here. So if you like gardening, or you think you like some plants or flowers, just go out there and even look at a plant and look how lively and vibrant and beautiful it is. And just think of how God has just given you this beauty that you can witness. So take up a new hobby. You can dance. Dancing, I actually, before I joined this podcast, I did a little Zumba by myself, and I did 30 burpees as well. I'm trying to make sure I maintain my health and wellness, even though my week wasn't that bad, but it was a good week, but it was a week that, you know, had a lot of things happening. Like, so I'm able to calm myself by doing some exercise, dancing to my favorite music. So if you like a certain kind of song or songs, just get a playlist if possible and just dance like no one is watching. Just have fun. Just enjoy yourself. Just love yourself. Love yourself and your families. And then don't forget, if you need to reach out for help, just find a trusted source, you know, your pastor, a good friend. There's no stigma in reaching out to a mental health professional. That's very important. Because if you think about it, if you have high blood pressure, you want to reach out to your internal medicine doctor. Or if you have a heart problem, you reach out to a cardiologist. So to get your heart fixed, right? So if you have any kind of mental health concern, you need someone to help you with that. Mm-hmm. And anybody can have mental health problems. Anybody at all. So don't feel that you are the only one. Just reach out for support. The funny thing is this morning, before breakfast, my husband and I usually pray. We pray before we eat. And 100% of the time, I kid you not, after we're done, at the end of the prayer, we always say, Lord, please bless those who are without the means at this time. Those who are hungry, those who are hopeless, those who are just, those who have lost loved ones, right? So this morning, I remember praying and asking God to reach out to those who are hungry. And then I looked on a Facebook post and a friend of mine posted, and I forgot just before the podcast, I wanted to reach out to her and say, oh my God, I just prayed for you to reach out to someone who's hungry. And then she and her kids actually packed some kind, it looks like, I didn't get to see the picture properly, but packed some food to go feed people on the street. Imagine that.
Wow.
Imagine that. I just saw it like right after, like, imagine that. So it may not come the way, like blessings may not come the way that you want it to come, but it will come in different shapes and forms.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. So thank you so much.
Well, Dr. Nix, Kiana, see, I said it right this
yes,
time.
Yes, you did.
The time has passed us by. And I want to say thank you so much for joining me on this podcast as we continue to try to inspire and uplift our young people and even people in the middle of their careers and their lives.
Yes.
Feedback continues to be good, that the authenticity of the guests that come onto the podcast really blesses them in ways that they are very, very thankful. And with that, I want to say again, thank you. So ladies and gentlemen, with that, you've just spent the last hour with Dr. Kiana Nix, and you have heard a story, and I hope like every one of the other stories every week, something was shared, something that was said, that gives you a different lens through which to view your station in life. So with that, this is It's Easy, Son, your life lessons on your journey to your purpose. And until next week, be healthy, be safe, but more importantly, be mindful of who you are. Take care. God bless.